Hey, welcome back to Shanghai. I said yesterday that I was planning to keep it easy, keep it lighthearted, not being too heavy, because there's so much heaviness in the world, in the internet and things like that. But I won't attend this promise, I think. So what I'm going to talk today is going to be what happened in Congo a few days ago. So the last time we, if you've listened to the last episode, I was talking about the news, and basically what happened was the ambassador of Italy in Congo was killed by a group of unknown militia that tried to kidnap him, and in the attempt they killed him, the bodyguard, the security and the driver. And I discover it's not even, you know, a singular case. It's like 1 month ago, six rangers, we are in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and in the east part there is this park called Virunga National Park, and there are rangers that they control the park, that there's no illegal hunting of animals. And so what happened like a month ago was six of those rangers got killed in a similar circumstance. So it really showed the dangers of the place and the situation, which is very unknown in the Western world. We don't talk about it much more, but it still is very much real. So that got me curious enough to read a little bit more about the whole situation. Because if you've never been in those places, I've been nearby in Uganda. I lived there for 1 month. It was an experience I've done in the past. And it's right there at the border with Congo. And since that moment, I was hearing like very bad stories about that place. Like, it's a no man's land. I mean, people live there, but there's no law there. There are a lot of wars and conflicts. It's a place completely out of control, and the government isn't capable of anything in the place, and especially that region in the east north, bordering with Uganda and Rwanda. Is the most dangerous of all. It's a wild west. It's a wild area, and it's ruled by militias, rebel groups, and even there's even the UN on a mission. Like the blue helmets are there to surveil the area, but because it's so dangerous. So yeah, when I lived in those around those places, I heard bad stories about Congo in general, and yeah, I really had a bad impression of this place. But not because I mean, the place is wonderful. It's probably like a paradise on earth. It's fantastic, and the people there are probably amazing. I haven't met Congolese, but I bet they are great people. I'm not saying like the place itself is bad, but the whole situation, the whole mess happening there, make it really, really dangerous place. Really, yeah. And it's a real shame because it's not supposed to be like that. It's the complicated interests that are in this area. And so I wanted to talk about it because I think it's probably interesting. If you're not interested, you can skip it. You can skip this episode and we'll see it tomorrow, I guess. But for whoever wants to hear some stories, some want to know something about this part of the world, well, welcome. Welcome to you. And let's go. So first of all, there are two Congos in Africa, and the Congo I'm going to refer to is the traditionally Belgian part, and it's Congo Kinshasa, to not be confounded with Congo Brazzaville, which is, I think, was English originally, and it's part of another story. What I'm going to talk with Congo is Congo Kinshasa, and it had a very unlucky history, really since the colonization, because differently from other African countries, Congo was exactly colonized by Belgium, and Belgium, unfortunately, as bad as colonization was, Belgium was possibly the worst. At the time, we are talking about early 20th century, the Free State of Congo, as it was called, was considered the personal property of King Leopold II of Belgium. It was considered like his personal garden. Imagine having, instead of a garden, like a country as big as Central Europe, for real, as your garden. And actually, King Leopold II didn't even visit the place. It was only his property, but he never actually cared about it. Like, he never visited. It was managed by Belgian colonists. And it was like really the worst possible colonization ever happened. The historians talks about what happened in Congo, the tortures, the mutilations against the population, and the way the Belgians control the population, and the way they enslave them and abuse of them. It's something that is really comparable to what the Nazi did after in the Second World War. It's like really a precursor of the next genocides. So that really paints a picture of the horror that was Congo in that time, at the time. And it didn't get much better with the years. Yeah, so fortunately, Congo managed to gain independence in 1960 thanks to the new president, Patrice Lumumba, who advocated for the independence of the country. And but the problem didn't stop there, because we were in 1960, and that was in the middle of the Cold War. So that big country, that was very well known to be rich of resources and minerals, and that big rich country in the middle of Africa suddenly caught the interest of the big empires of the time, which were the US and the USSR. So thanks to the help of the CIA and the United States, Mobutu came to power and established a new dictatorship basically in the country for many years, and that could be like the regular African story, because many countries follow the same path, but the problems didn't ended up there. Some other problems became relevant in for Congo as well, when the neighboring countries such as Rwanda, they started to get a bit turbulent and annoying. So, fast forward to 1990s, and in Rwanda, it's very close by to Congo. It's on the eastern frontier, and it's a very small country, right in the middle of Africa, in a region called the Great Lakes region. And in Rwanda, there was a problem, a big problem. There were two ethnies, Hutu and Tutsi, that they couldn't really talk with each other. They were struggling for power. The leader of the Hutu tribe, Hutu faction, the president of Rwanda, got killed in a what was considered a terrorist attack. That moment changed everything in Rwanda. That moment started a civil war, who was like the most brutal in whole history. Hutu started to get resentful because they thought that were like the opposing faction, the Tutsi, that killed the president, the most prominent leader of their faction. So they started to look for Tutsi and get revenge by killing everyone around. And that really brought to a terrible civil war that had consequences even for Congo, which just happened to be nearby, and where most of the Hutu after the war fled to. After the war, the Tutsi finally managed to stop the conflict and got to power. And the Hutu, fearing repercussion, they fled away and they all got to Congo. That moment changed the history of Congo as well, because the problems that started in Rwanda now got transferred to Congo, basically. So the 2 million of Hutu fled to the other country. And that made all the native Congolese quite uncomfortable of the presence. There's also a native local community of Tutsi in Congo that were more concerned than others, let's say, of the new Hutu guests in the country. And that creates some frictions in the region. Adding to that, there was the suspect by Rwanda and by the other countries that the ex-members of the Interahamwe, which was the Hutu nationalistic group that first started a civil war, there was the suspect that those nationalists were hidden together with the refugees in Congo, and they were plotting to come back with a violent riot also in Rwanda. So to avoid that, Rwanda founded some militia groups that went to Congo to loot and sabotage and kill the people in the refugee camps, suspecting everyone to be some Hutu nationalist. That sparkled a civil war in Congo as well. That also involved the surrounding countries, as Rwanda asked help to Uganda, Burundi, to for their mission. Congo was also calling for the United Nations for assistance, and also the neighboring countries to contrast the Rwandese militaries. So that became like a full-blown civil war, and that's, and today we will still live the consequences of what happened that moment. reading the news, what happened a few days ago, they started some investigation to understand what happened, who were those armed people that killed the diplomats. And but it's very difficult today to come to a conclusion and to find the responsibles, because that region, that same region between Lake Kivu and Virunga National Park, became filled of all sort of militia, all sort of rebels, all sort of military groups that join either side and still continue to fight against each other. Adding to that, there were a lot of other independent groups that they just came to the place for profit. You have to know that this region is also the most the richest region in the world, so it was also a good opportunity for profit for some people. So this whole history has tremendous consequences still today, and I think it's interesting to discover it, to learn from, because it explains a little bit the situation, the messy news we receive from Africa, and why is always so much in turmoil. Because of ethnic rivalries first, but also because of the immense resources that, you know, they are hidden in those areas. If you want to know the whole story, and not from me, but in general, if you really want to know exactly what happened, I can recommend some books which I think are interesting. Starting from Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad, which is a big classic, and it was inspired exactly by the Free State of Congo and the atrocities that happened during the Belgian colonization. And it's an interesting book. It's the vision that Europeans had at the time of what was Congo. Other books I can suggest is We Wish to Inform You That Tomorrow We Will Be Killed With Our Families. And already the title is... It's very strong, really. And this book talks very well about what happened in Rwanda during the Rwandan Civil War. The author is Philippe Gurevich. There is another book that I haven't read, but I want to read. I started to read now, but I'm still in the early pages, so I don't know, but it was suggested. It's Congo, The Epic History by David van Riebroek. And this is quite another classic of the history of Congo. It was suggested, so I would say it's worth a try, let's say. And another book I found, Africa World's War, and it talks exactly about the Rwandan conflicts and also what happened in Congo afterwards. So it gives, I think, the better picture of the successions of events that brought to the mess we are living in today. The author is Gérald Prunier. And those are like very strong books. So I don't suggest them like lightheartedly. You have to be interested and be committed to read about some bad pages of history. But I think they can give also a reading and an understanding of the complexities of this part of the world, which I think helps really to understand also the bigger the bigger problems. I mean, that's already a big problem. But I mean, from our West perspective, we don't see what happens there. But understanding what happens, this problem are the origin of our wealth to begin with, because we all profit from the mess in Congo. We are all responsible in a way to what happens there. So reading those books and understanding more about those places, I think, gives a better understanding of what's wrong today and what is possible, what should be done to fix it. That's all for today, and see you tomorrow with other things, other stories, other news, and I was Shanghai. Thank you.